This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Welcome to Amazing Grace for another week. Pray that you're going to be encouraged and blessed today as we share some tips on surviving as a Christian a bit later on, and there's going to be a little health section. And now I'm going to just remind you that here at Amazing Grace we do have a little magic little book, not literally magic, but God's Spirit seriously worked on me when I listened and read this book for the first time, the book Steps to Christ, and we are happy to give that away to you for free. Also here in the local takeaways in Palmerston North, you will find a little rack of Signs magazines, and help yourself to those. If you would like to contact us with a prayer request, we are available for that, and you can contact us by email at info@mpr.nz, and in the subject put Amazing Grace Program, that will reach us, or you can text 022-635-9389. Right, let's start with a little thought from the Word, our strength, our hope, and how God communicates to each one of us. And I'm taking the suggestions and advice from the next in the series that we're doing from the survival kit, after we have completed the survival kit in our own personal small group. And I am going to read from 1 Thessalonians and just really one verse, and it's actually only the second part of verse 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is speaking. He's the author of this letter, but God speaks to our hearts. So, grace to you. And God is speaking to you, friend, right now. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us grace, and our program's called Amazing Grace, and I challenge you to check out in the Word, in the Bible, what is His amazing grace. And 1 Corinthians 15, the first probably 18 verses, is a real concise example in the Bible of what grace is all about, what God's grace is. And recently I heard the comment that this person was saying to the other person, all religions are the same, and you know what, you know, someone finds in one religion their answers, and someone else finds their answers in another religion. Aren't they just as good as each other? And the guy answered and said, all other religions tell us things that we must do to reach God. Christianity is the only religion which tells us how God reached us. And that's what the amazing grace is all about. Yes, and so let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you that Jesus lived and died and rose again, and that he took our punishment, he took our failures. Lord, we've all failed. The verse that says, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. But the gift of God is eternal life. And we thank you, Jesus, that you came not to just give us hope for the future, but to give us purpose, meaning, and abundant life here and now. So I pray your blessing as we share this program together. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to have our song, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace message in that song. And yeah, there's a really good DVD that's all tied in with the author of Amazing Grace, and about William Wilberforce. And yeah, check it out, DVD, Amazing Grace. It's called Amazing Grace. Really true, good story. So now we're going to have our health tip for the week, and I'm looking at an excerpt from Take Charge of Your Health by Aileen Luddington, MD, and Dr. Hans Deal. And this is all about coronary heart disease. And 14 extra years after bypass, 3 months after his triple coronary bypass, Father Fergus McGuinness experienced The return of his symptoms, pain, fatigue, frustration. He went back to see his physician. The surgery helped you some, but this is as far as we can go, he got told by his doctor. Continue your medicines and try to control your stress. A few drinks might help. Maybe you should see a psychiatrist. Okay, so this doctor was not into natural health. Let's find out what happened next. Father McGuinness became deeply depressed. After his surgery, he had joyfully thrown away the medications he'd been gobbling by the handful. Did he have to start that old routine again? Would he end up an alcoholic trying to endure the situation? Perhaps he did need a psychiatrist. But before he had a nervous breakdown, he heard about rehabilitation classes for people with heart disease. He signed into the next class. The doctors at the health centre explained to him that the symptoms often return after bypass surgery unless the factors that caused the condition in the first place are changed, namely a high-fat, low-fibre diet coupled with a stressful, sedentary lifestyle. Father McGuinness learned that switching to a low-fat vegetarian diet coupled with walking for 30 to 60 minutes every day was essential. It took considerable discipline for him to discard lifelong patterns and adopt health-building habits, but he persevered. Within a month, his cholesterol had dropped 102 points and he'd lost 8 kilograms. He felt 10 years younger. Father McGuinness followed the program faithfully throughout the years that followed. He told us recently that what he had learned had extended his life 14 years so far. He is 74 years old now, works full-time and has no plans to retire. And just a note, in recent years, more doctors have been advising heart surgery patients to enroll in rehabilitation programs. So, yes, coronary heart disease, it's one of the most highest factors of death in the Western world. It's just shocking. So we're going to have another song now, and then we're going to be joined by Suzanne and Don, and we're looking at our Survival Kit series.
Father, into your courts I will enter, maker of heaven and earth, I tremble. Glory in your sanctuary, splendor and majesty, Lord, before you, all life adores you, all the earth will declare that your love is everywhere, the fields will exalt, seas resound. Tremble in sanctuary, splendor and majesty, Lord.
Really testifies of God if we look hard and ask God to show us. Now we're going to be joined by Suzanne and Don, and I really appreciate their help here with this, and it's good fun doing it together too. Mm-hmm. And so survival kit, Suzanne, what are we up to?
Good morning, listeners. This morning we are up to survival kit, session 7, part 1. But just a quick revival about what we have been covering so far, and we have looked at Amazing Grace, looked into that. We've also looked into looking to Jesus and tackling temptation, and now we're on the road ahead. And if you have been listening, we have been talking about facing tough decisions. Was around about where we got up to. God is committed to help us to succeed, and He is willing to give us decision in even the smallest details in our life. So if you're facing a tough decision, make it a point to spend some extra time seeking God through His Word and wait on Him to speak. And this can be difficult. We are an impatient creatures by nature, and we like instant. But God calls us to wait, and waiting is what helps us to grow in character. But if you must make a decision, do the best that you can, and base it on the principles God has given you through His Word up to this point that we've been talking about. Just a wee testimony of mine. In my early years, I had a couple of relationships that went sour, and got quite depressed kind of about them. And then I came to the Lord after that, committed my life to God. And I can remember driving home from Masterton up to Auckland one day, and I got to about Cambridge, and I said to God, "If you want me to be married again, so be it. If you do not, I will work in the mission fields for you." And it was very shortly after that I waited a wee bit. I wasn't aware that I was waiting, but soon after that I got a letter from my husband now, before in answer to something that his father had said. And about 8 months later he became my husband, and we've been married for 32 years now. So it pays to wait. Now, our next part from here, we are looking at what should we do when our impressions seem to contradict the Word of God. And here is a very good Bible text from Isaiah to help us to make the right decisions, and to see if our impression or our feeling lines up with the Word of God. And it is Isaiah 8 verse 20, and it says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And this, to the law, if it's talking about the whole word of God, the New Testament and the Old Testament, God's law, the Ten Commandments and the other laws that he had. There's good health laws and how to live, how to treat other people in the Old and New Testament, and to the testimony of God. And he has said many times that when we follow his word, he will bless us and keep us safe and protect us and look after us. Now we are over to Don, and he has got another Bible verse for us.
So, further to what Suzanne's been telling us, we've got another text here from Proverbs 19:21, which says, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail," which is great to know. And we can also add here, if you sense God directing you to do something that violates the principle of his word, you can be pretty sure it's not God that's doing it.
What will be the results of allowing God to direct in our life? Let's see what this verse tells us. What will the results of allowing God to direct in our life? And it's Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth." And verse 2, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God."
What a wonderful thought. Excuse me. "The wisdom of the Almighty is available to us. He who knows the thoughts and intents of every heart, and who sees tomorrow as clearly as today, is willing to guide our steps through every perplexity and trial. What's more, his great love for us and interest in our success gives the assurance his leading is always the best," because he wants us to be happy. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to live a purposeful, prosperous life. What about you? Are you willing to seek the Lord's guidance for your life, to search the scriptures and then pursue his revealed will? There's no better guidebook.
Yes. Alrighty, so we're going to have an ad break now, and then after that we're going to come back and talk about the practical suggestions in this subject of seeking God's direction and will for our life.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information.
Alrighty, let's have a look at the road ahead now. Many people, when they first begin to grasp how powerful the memory keys have been studying really are, become so excited about memorizing that they make a big mistake. They start trying to memorize too much. Maybe they set out to memorize a long list of verses on specific topics, or they try to learn whole chapters or even whole books of the Bible. While these are noble endeavors, what typically happens is things soon degenerate at a fast rate, and there's little or no impact on the life. We recommend, instead of focusing on verses that are immediately intertwined with your own personal work with God, here is what we mean. So I'll hand over to Lynette to tell you.
Yep, so this is key 7, memorize fresh verses. And here comes a verse from Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. First, ask God to begin pointing out specific verses he wants you to memorize. If you are spending time with God each morning in prayer and Bible study, he has probably already begun impressing certain key verses on your heart. Yes, friend, they definitely just jump out at you as you're reading. Maybe you've started noticing verses that you hear in a sermon, or perhaps some friend has a knack for sharing especially encouraging Bible verses. Maybe you have run across some interesting verses in these survival kit lessons. However, God sends you verses. However he sends you verses, and this is interesting, yesterday I looked up in my cutlery cupboard and cups and glasses, and up at the top there's a verse on the cup, and it really spoke to me, and I've decided I'm gonna put that on card and memorize it, because it's just exactly, it felt like God was just talking to me right then. However God sends you verses, friend, we recommend memorizing them while they're fresh, if possible, that same day. When God speaks to our heart, he's saying something he wants us to remember. And he wants us to review those lessons over and over to ensure they make a lasting impact on our life, so we won't forget what he's taught us. Check out Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Rather than planning out what verses to memorize, listen. Learn to listen and let God lead. And I've actually got Deuteronomy. I just need to flip over a few pages to find Deuteronomy 4 verse 9. Deuteronomy 4 verse 9 says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Yeah, it is really good to journal and to write down things when you really see God speaking to you through an event or through someone else or through when you're reading the Bible. Yeah, jot it down. Anyways, assigned verses are fine, especially when starting out, but they should be supplemented with verses given you directly by God. And eventually you'll want to make key verses you find entirely on your own, a bigger and bigger percentage of the verses you learn. It is these fresh personal verses that will prove most meaningful in your life. So be alert and learn to look for them morning by morning as you meet with the Lord.
And our second key is stick to short passages. And
Though it is tempting, avoid trying to memorize long passages, such as whole chapters or books of the Bible, especially at first, which is what Lynette was saying before in her key, number 7. Start with just a verse or two here and there. This is how the Holy Spirit teaches, precept upon precept, line upon line, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, which is found in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. You do not need to memorize an entire passage to understand the context of a single verse. And it is almost never necessary to quote a whole chapter in answer to some friend's question or objection. Focus instead on memorizing key verses and then build these verses into your life. Practice them each day as God speaks to you and shares verses with you and instructs you. He wants us to do what he is saying in his word. Long passages are not only more challenging to memorize, but harder to review and more difficult to retain. Again, be careful. Avoid attempting long passages until Bible memorization has become a way of life and you have several hundred verses under your belt to prove it. Your patience will be well rewarded.
Thank you, Sue and Suzanne. And now we're moving on in our fellowship of faith. We're going to welcome you for one last time to this Fast Survival Kit. We pray this program has been a blessing to you, giving you useful tools for surviving as a Christian. These principles are important. It's a good idea to review them regularly, every few months, skim through the lessons again, or better yet, find a friend and introduce them to the course. There is much more to the Christian life, but we must never lose sight of the basics. And hopefully by now you are beginning to see scripture memory as one of those basics. Over and over, God instructs his children to hide the word in their hearts. And there's several texts explaining that, such as Deuteronomy 6:6 or Job 22:22. But God does more than just command us to memorize. He blesses his word and makes it a blessing in our life. The Bible becomes so sweet, we could never imagine giving it up. Friend, just I pray that you press on and get a good taste of his word for yourself.
Yes, so we're just about at the end of this chapter called Fellowship of Faith, and we're looking at the objectives. And objective one is this study talks about one of the most important keys to success in the Christian life. So these are the objectives at the beginning of this section that we've been doing for the last two radio programs. And so this section has been called the Fellowship of Faith. To put it simply, we need one another. If we are serious about pressing forward, we must be serious about pressing together. Yes, now actually, I got my wires crossed there. We're actually on to the new section. The new section is called Fellowship of Faith, and the one that we did before that, what was the one before?
It was called The Road Ahead.
The Road Ahead. Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Cool. So, your fifth memory verse, if you've been following along and taking the suggestions, fifth memory verse is a bit longer than the others, but it's a good one, and it's Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And this is really interesting that he put that this at the end of this course, because it was really easy for us as a group to kind of like, we did have a break, but it was hard to get back into it. And this verse actually really speaks to us about not forsaking the fellowship of fellowshipping together. And it tells us about the verses. I wonder, Suzanne or Don, have either of you, or do you want to recite it from memory? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 starts with
we'll
let us.
Give it a go.
Yeah.
And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Yeah, cool, great. Mm. So, it's suggesting here, start working on this, on it early in the week. Also, make sure you have your other four verses down perfectly. Review, review, review. Just think, you will soon know your first full handful of verses. Don't stop with five, though. There are plenty more where those came from.
So now we're looking at why our last two memory keys are just ahead, but read carefully the practical suggestions and then review them with the other eight keys you have learned so far. Until you can recite all 10 in order, also take a few moments to think about your plans to continue your memorization of the word going forward. Are you committed to sticking with it? Well, we hope so. Here's a thought from Psalms 119:93. I will never forget your precepts, for with them you have quickened me. That's a wonderful verse from Psalm 119:93.
Right, we're going to have a song now, and it's called What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh,
Yes, friend, what a friend we have in Jesus. I can testify to that. Okay, now we're looking at the fellowship of faith in our section in this survival kit. And I thought I'd just remind you again, friend, that you can go and check this out for yourself. Just put into Google or your search engine fastmissions.com, probably even Fast Missions, and it'll come up. And anyways, we've been doing it as a small group, and the survival kit is the first in the series that we've been doing. So now we're looking at the Bible search section of this session. And the study deals with one more critical key to survival, and that's Bible-centered fellowship. God did not design any of us to strike out on the Christian path alone. Rather, his plan is for us to enjoy rich spiritual relationships. Make sure connecting with fellow believers always stays an important part of your life. Think of that saying, no man is an island. And we seriously do grow stronger in God as we connect with each other spiritually. Yeah. And socially, in all the ways. And let us consider one another to encourage and to love and to good works. Now, I'm going to do this by memory because what I'm looking at is the old King James and I have learned it different. So, yes, let's see if I can do it. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And that's Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And when it talks about as you see the day approaching, I was just saying to my daughter who's in Germany yesterday, because they're going through incredible heat waves over there. She said it was 40 degrees, and I just said, Jesus is coming again soon. It's a sign. Mm. So, you know, we need to not forsake getting together, and especially as we see the times in which we live. So, Suzanne, do you want to answer the question by reading, well, it's actually those verses, isn't it?
I actually have looked it up in the New Living Translation, so it makes spoken a little bit more modernly, and it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of good love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his, Jesus' return, is drawing near.
That's really clear.
Yes, we do need to. And the question that went with that was, what is the true purpose of Christian fellowship? And that is what it is, to motivate one another to love and good works, to fellowship together, meeting together, and to encourage each other, especially now as we await Jesus' near return. Jesus' return is drawing near. God knows we need the encouragement and exhortation of other Christians to succeed in the Christian life. This need will only increase as we draw nearer and nearer to the second coming of Jesus.
Now we'll continue on to have a look at why is this kind of fellowship Sue's been talking about so important. And like her, I'll be reading a text from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, which say, you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. So that's such a wonderful thought, to know that Christ has prepared our future for us when we are faithful to him. Now, it's dangerous to try and survive as a Christian on our own, but do what it takes to find faith-inspiring Christian fellowship and get the encouragement and exhortation, which means pretty much the same thing, you need.
So what is the purpose of exhortation? Now, that's a really old-fashioned word, exhortation. Encouraging?
Urge.
Urging each other, urging and encouraging each other on. And it's found in Ephesians 4:15, and I've got it right here. Ephesians 4:15 tells us, but speaking the truth in love. That's really important. We can go and just say whatever we think that God's saying for someone else, but we need to speak the truth in love. May you grow in all things to him, towards him who is the head, Christ, speaking the truth in love. Yes. Suzanne, I think you're next.
I'm next. What should be the bond that connects believers together in fellowship? And we are looking at Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, which says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Another verse, or another way of putting it, is put on love. And it's putting on Jesus. It's asking for his love to come into our hearts, because when we have Jesus' love in our hearts, we can't help but love everyone. Jesus even loved his enemies and prayed for him. He prayed for those Roman soldiers and the scribes and Pharisees who had ordered him to be nailed to the cross. He prayed and asked his Heavenly Father to forgive them. He still loved them and he wanted them saved. And so it's the love of Jesus that we need in our hearts that's going to bind us together in Christian fellowship.
And I just wanted to add a note that I left out but is too good to not share. Exhortation is simply saying those things that will help another person become more like Jesus. And to be most effective, it should always spring from a heart of love. And I think it's Don's turn.
It is now, yes. So we're moving on to another verse, which is 1 Thessalonians 2:7-13. And we're looking at some of the ways Paul's love for these believers can be seen. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you. So Paul's trying to say he was like a caring mother for his own children. He took a serious interest in
your welfare,
the new church and their welfare. We were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preach God's good news to you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless. toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. It's a wonderful thought to know that.
Yeah, really good. So, Don, what version was that you were reading?
That was from the New Living Translation, which is a pretty much modern English, and it's an easier to understand version.
Really nice and clear. Yes, so we're going to actually wrap it up for our session today. But I just want to thank Suzanne and Don for being here. And we're really excited about this Fast Missions series of courses, and that will help us get closer to God, help us get closer to each other, and to share the good news with those around us. So just before we say goodbye, I would just like to remind you that here at Amazing Grace, we are happy to give a free copy to you if you would like to read it, the book Steps to Christ, and also to check out the local takeaways in Palmerston North for the magazine Signs. They're called Signs. It's just a little magazine, just small but really full with punchy articles on family, health, and issues that we face in life each day. And you can contact us on 022-635-9389 or email at info@mpr.nz. If you have a question, if you want a prayer request on or off air. So from Suzanne and Don and myself, we here at Amazing Grace, we really we do this because we care about you, friend, and because we want to share the good news that God really loves you. Whatever you're going through, God is only a prayer away, and he knows, he actually knows exactly what you're going through right now, your joys and your sorrows, and he wants to be your very best friend. And that's simply just opening your heart in prayer and asking him to reveal himself to you. Challenge you to do that. And a really good place to start with reading his word, the Bible, is the book of Mark. And just as you read, ask God to speak to you. And we are finding that more and more that God is speaking to us when we read his word. So yes, may you grow in grace. May the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the grace of the Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God bless until next time.